Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
You can't separate salvation from healing. Do you understand? It's on the cross. So when I see the back of Jesus, I said, that's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis. And by his stripe, I am. If you got your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Mark chapter 4? The book of Mark chapter 4 is probably one of my most favorite chapters in the Bible because most of what is being said is Jesus' words. Jesus was a teacher of parables. We call it the parabolic method so that people would understand wonderful things. Jesus was at his house and he decided to walk out and sit out and look at the Sea of Galilee, just kind of enjoying himself. And anytime he was around, a crowd began to gather. So he couldn't go nowhere. He was very famous in that day, what I call normal people. You know, the high society had heard about this miracle worker. Josephus called him the miracle worker because everywhere he went, miracles took place. And he started his miracle ministry at the wedding of Cana there. And if you know anything about biblical history, I want to do a little teaching this morning. And so Jesus noticed it, and he would have been pushed over into the water. So he got into one of Peter's boats, and he said, push out a little bit so that I can speak to the people. Now, that's good business. That's good engineering, because the minute you have a body of water behind you, like if this was a body of water behind me, it would elevate my voice, that you wouldn't need electrical stuff, and everybody could hear him. Thousands of people could hear it because the voice would bounce off the water and hit the people, see? And it was such a blessing. I want to read Mark chapter 4, and I want to talk today about, and the title of this message is, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, why were these people gathering? What did they, well, some didn't like Jesus. They wanted to give their worthless opinion. Yeah. There were some that did like him. Some were anxious to see, just curious, who is this man? Some hated him and yet did not know him. And yet, why would they go? If you don't like it, why would you go? There are people hate me and yet come to my meetings. Why? Stay home. Why would you do that? Well, you might have believed something that's not true. And then you hate me for some reason, maybe because of what I have, and yet you don't realize what I've given away, how many homes I've paid off, cars, you name it, I have done some heavy stuff. And God has been so good and gracious, and I've never used your money to do it. You see what I'm saying? I don't do those things. But God has honored me and gave me the gift and the anointing of increase, and I was able to use it with business sense. So I want to read this, and we'll start with Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And he began to teach by the seaside. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. Now I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here. And he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Underline that word wayside. And the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. I call that the shallow soil, the shallow person. First the wayside person, now the shallow person. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. I call that the choke soil. People are always choking on something. Now watch it. Let me read verse 7 again. Others fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground. Now that's the good soil. And did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And in verse 9, this is the title of my message. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So there were a lot of people listening that should not have been there. There are a lot, they should not, because they didn't care for what Jesus was saying. There's four types of soil. I call it the parable of the soil. Four types of people there. So I want to talk about that this morning. Write this down if you're taking notes. We as a body of believers have accepted, and let me say this. I was talking to Ken Bell when we were in Australia, and something came out of my mouth in a different way than I normally speak it. I was talking to Ken and I think my staff, and I said, you know, people have adopted God's act of giving, but they haven't adopted God's act of receiving. Or I could say it like this. We have adopted God's way of giving, but we have not adopted God's way of receiving. In other words, there's no limit on your giving, but they want your limit on your receiving. And you see, the minute you put a limit on receiving God's word, something's wrong with that. See, we've adopted his way of giving, but not his way of receiving. Why can't you be rich? Oh, you're going to be rich for eternity when you get to heaven. I mean, the smallest house you can get is a mansion. Amen. The worst street you can walk on is solid gold. Amen. My God, do you understand what I'm saying? And his will be done where? Amen. As it is where? Amen. Now, you don't fall in love with money, but you live in an economic world, and it operates on money. But if you fall in love with it, that's when it becomes evil. Money is not evil because it probably paid for your breakfast this morning, brought some gas to get you to come to church, see? Money's paying for these lights and a generator out there that's kicked on. See what I'm saying? So when you understand what I'm talking about, it's not a bad thing. It's just if you fall in love with God, I have no other gods before him. Now write this down. We as a body of believers have accepted God's way or act of giving, but not God's way or act of receiving. Even word of faith people, some of them don't believe in the hundredfold. Did you notice Jesus ended on a good note? He first talked about the wayside soil. Then he talked about the shallow soil. These are people. Then he talked about the choke soil. Then he talked about the good soil. He ended on a good note. You see, now what I have done in my life, I've adopted God's way of giving, and I give graciously, lots of money. And I've adopted God's way of receiving, and I have received lots of money. Don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you the truth here. I hide nothing from the Lord. I refuse to try to hide something. I'm going to give God glory spiritually, physically, and financially. You can say what you want. And then if you don't want to hear me, then there's the door. Do what you got to do. You see what I'm saying? And I don't mean that to be rude or arrogant, but I am not going to change because the word of God doesn't change. You see, and I know I got Pharisees and Sadducees out there that are always, they did the same thing that Jesus, they're doing to me. They criticized my house. They criticized my plane. I don't think they've ever criticized my wife. They may have behind my back, but I don't know. It's just always something. If I wore something that they thought I shouldn't wear, whatever, you know, it didn't make any difference whatsoever. See, because I've adopted God's way of receiving as well as God's way of giving. Now write this down. There is a world of people who have eyes who do not see, and ears who do not hear. You understand what I'm saying? There is a world of people who have eyes who do not see and ears who do not hear. You got to remember something. I don't doubt you've heard things about me and you come to this church. And you know they're not true. But see, they got eyes, but they don't see. They got ears, but they don't hear. It's amazing to me. You see, why didn't you get saved earlier? Because your ears wasn't hearing. You see? You understand what I'm saying? And when you understand that, when you begin to hear, faith come by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. But I see a lot, I'm talking about preachers. I'm talking about great preachers. They'll call Joel Osteen. They'll call me. They'll call Kenneth Copeland. We're heretics. And they say they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They're homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological. I got degrees myself. You want to talk intelligence? You see what I'm saying? But that don't mean nothing to God. See, they know the word, but they're not spiritually led. You understand? They like Pharisees and Sadducees. They're so indoctrinated, they can't hear anything God is saying. But in actuality, they're not spirit led. So if you speak in tongues, they say, look at that gibberish. They make fun of that. That's ignorant people. That's people that have eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear. So that's why I don't worry about it, because I can walk right in front of them and they can't see me. I can scream in their face and they don't hear me. So I don't try to do that. My the way I think, I preach the good news. That is, you don't have to be sad, sick, depressed, discouraged, and despondent. healing not for today. You hadn't been to the back of the cross. You only stood at the front of the cross. Go to the back of the cross, you'll see Jesus' back bleeding. No skin on it, muscle, bone busted up. You can't separate salvation from healing. Do you understand? It's on the cross. So when I see the back of Jesus, I say, that's cancer, diabetes, high blood pressure, crippling arthritis. And by his stripe, I am. I am. Do you see that? But you're going to have people go, ears that do not hear and eyes that do not see. They've adopted God's way of giving, but not God's way of receiving. God want to bless you beyond your wildest dreams. God wants you to get to this new word called overwhelmed. See, instead of being saying, boy, God bless me. God bless me. Woo! Then God bless me. I want you to say that I just got overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. You see what I'm saying? Now, I bought this new plane on August the 7th. That's when I put the money down. I received it 2 days ago, guys. Am I correct about that? What is today? Sunday, Saturday, Thursday? When did y'all come in? Friday. Okay. You get these days mixed up, you know. And I owned it since August the 7th. But when I walked into it, I put a new interior. Didn't have to. The interior was beautiful. A lot of money. But I kept getting something up in my spirit. Make this plane holy. Amen. And I'm trying to go, holy costs a lot of money. Holy costs a lot of money. The holy is a holy, a lot of money. That Ark of the Covenant, a lot of money. Holy, a lot of money. So I just come. And finally, then I realized what the Lord's doing. So I said, send it to Duncan. And we changed it from the nose to the tail. Now, I don't know what people did when they had that plane before. I don't know that. And I'm not saying they did anything. But now when I walked in there, I went, oh, I sensed the presence. You see, and a lot of people want to travel with me, you know, and I understand why. I like being with people. I enjoy it. But the Lord said, that's your holies of holies. That's where I talk to you, Jesse. That's your think tank. That's where me and you become one. When I get my idea. I mean, Kathy said, why don't you lay down? Like I'm in the plane, me and Kathy don't say a word for hours. She's working on something like that. And my mind, she said, why don't you lay down? Go ahead, Kathy, do your computer. And the Lord began to dealing with me, see, telling me what to do, when to do it, where to do it, and how to do it. But when I walked into it, it smelled like a brand new car. I went, and I think it was Ken, it might have been Eli. I'm not sure. I said, it's mine now. I'm walking in a holy place. You see what I'm saying? And guess who's criticizing it? You. Because you've never been to a holy place. You've never been to the holies of holies. You think the Holy Ghost is nothing but gibberish. You think it's not for today. You see, you got eyes that do not see and ears that do not hear. So what are you even doing here? But I pray, God, that one day your eyes would be open and your ears would be open to understand what it means to be spirit-led instead of university taught. Amen. And I believe in education. God, do I ever believe in education? I like it. But I want to be spirit-led. So let me say it again. There's a world of people who have eyes who do not see and ears who do not hear. Write this down. Truth does not strike all minds in the same way. Truth does not strike all minds in the same way. The important thing to us is to seize the truth, which does strike us. When I got born again, the only thing that hit me was, for the first time in my life, Ricky, I saw sin. Now, you knew me before I said, I was mean. I could be a mean son of a gun. You know it. I was one, you have no idea. Oh, there's no way, Bridget. No, you don't. I'm glad you didn't know me. Because I wouldn't have liked you. I'd have cussed you out inside your church. You think I cared about anything? It didn't make no difference at all. But when the truth struck me in a hotel room and then into a bathroom in Boston, Massachusetts, it struck me in a way that it opened my eyes. And for the first time, I saw sin. Now, the night before, we were just, well, I mean, we jamming in there, boy, just kicking. Whoo! And then the next night, I go, what am I doing? All of a sudden, I could hear. like I've never heard before. See, truth does not strike all minds in the same way. The important thing to us is to seize the truth which does strike us. So all of a sudden, I wanted everything God had. So being a baby Christian, I stole my first Bible. Because I was still used to, you know, I never thought about stealing as bad, you know. It happened to get in my hand, which is dumb, but I mean, you know. And what it was a Gideon Bible in the hotel room. But see, you can't steal a Gideon Bible. I thought you could. They want you to take it. So, I mean, we've blessed the Gideon since then, you know. We sent them a big donation. I told them, I stole your Bible. They said, oh, no, you can't steal our Bible. I said, look, man, I stole your Bible. I said, I'm just trying to be a blessing. You can buy some other Bible for other people. And that was my school of theology. Without a Pharisee, without a Sadducee, or a Zealot. Me, the Holy Ghost, and Kathy. And I began to read. And my eyes, I went from like 2200 to 2020. And ears that could hear. And I was being guided, even though it was a baby spirit. It was a good soul. It was a good spirit. And I said, I want this. And I got an insatiable thirst for the word of God, see? And when you understand that, I mean, I began to let people know. And I wasn't embarrassed to tell people I got saved. I don't know from what. I couldn't really verbalize what. All I knew, something had happened. And I ran into all kinds of religiosity. Thank God I didn't have to unlearn stuff. I remember when I first walked in, a man said, your hair is too long. I said, well, you don't have any. How do you know? Of course, you know, when you got in my face, I had to learn. You got to understand, I said, you pop at me, I'm going to pop at you. I had a little Donald Trump in me. You understand in those days? You say to me, I'm a counterpuncher. You see, you want to dance? Okay, let's dance. You know what I'm saying? But as I grew older, I learned to walk in love, you know. But I believed in healing. I said, Lord, all I'm going to do is just break their leg and you can heal it. I mean, a baseball bat will do that. I don't care how big the man is. Baseball bat will take a kneecap off. You understand what I'm saying? And I could do that and smile. And then put my hand, oh, Jesus, heal him. I know that sounds crazy, but I was a baby. I was a baby Christian. You got to give babies time to grow up. You understand what I'm saying? And thank God that the Lord helped me to grow up. And all of a sudden, I began to find dissension in the church. All kinds of people mad about this. You know what? They were wayside people. They were shallow people. You didn't pray for me today. Well, suck it up. Get what the word of God has to say concerning what the word of God has to say. Now, I believe in prayer. Don't misunderstand me. But my God, your salvation should never be how you have somebody make you feel bad about someone. See, I don't allow any kind of junk for me to hate someone. I refuse to be offended. I will not do that. Now, there are things in life that nobody understands, and we understand that. But, you know, if any man lack wisdom, I go to the word. Well, I'm not going to get mad at somebody because, you know, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So I go to the throne and say, Lord, I need some wisdom concerning this. I want to know why this worked that way and why this and that. And, you know, if you stay there long enough, you get all of it. That's Write right. this down. Beware of idle curiosity crowds. They come only for self-seeking motives. There's a lot of people who want to get around me so I can open up doors for them. When I open up the doors for them, because I live a holy, holy life, then they walk away from me. Yeah, amen. Then they want what I have. Yes. And they sneak around and try to get it. Yeah. You know, and what they don't need to do, all they got to do is just ask God to give it to you. Why would God give me something and not give you something? Right. That would make him a respecter person, wouldn't it? Yeah. Right. Why do some people die? Well, I don't know. I want everybody healed. But I know one thing, if they believe in healing, if they're a Christian, when they got to heaven, they were they healed. Now, I would prefer it to be here. I mean, my good friend Jerry Savelle, why'd he leave? I mean, I need Jerry. He was my friend, like a brother to me. But he hasn't passed, he's arrived. So I'm rejoicing instead of going, I'm rejoiced. You got there, son. And one day I'll see you again. Do you see what I'm saying? That's what I mean by growth. Good soil. I want people praying for. Most people don't pray for me, or for Jessica and Adley. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. Oh, you know, he got it. It don't make no difference. And I don't get mad about that. I don't get my feelings hurt about it. You know what I'm saying? I just go to the Word. Right. And sometimes I say what Jesus says, forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. Notice I use the word forgive instead of kill them, Jesus. Now, there's sometimes, let's face it, sometimes you don't, you want to kill them. You want to slap them. Come on. Am I telling the truth? Shake your head. Yeah. It's true. I mean, we're all human. But see, beware of the curiosity crowds. They come only for self-seeking motives. So I refuse that. That's what they came, a self-seeking motive to see, to either criticize Jesus or to do whatever. And all he wanted to do was be a blessing. See, so when you understand that, these are these four types of people. People, write this down, people that don't believe the word always express an opinion regarding the importance of worthlessness. Oh, we don't believe in that. They want to hear your opinion. You see, that's what the social media has done. They gave people a voice that does not need to be heard. Some of the most ignorant things you've ever seen in your life come out on that thing. Let me say it again. People that don't believe the word always express an opinion regarding the importance of worthlessness of what the word says. I have a wonderful partner offer for you. It's my message, The Cure for Trouble. Is trouble troubling you? Be encouraged. Why? Because it's a sign that Jesus is coming soon. This message will strengthen your faith, release the peace of God in your life. Let's be ready for Jesus' great return. Order your copy, The Cure for Trouble, at jdm.org. Did you know that doubt is a habit? Yes, it is. You aren't born a doubter. You learn to doubt over time. In my book, I Never Learned to Doubt, you will learn something. And what is that? To go back in time and regain what was lost so that you can enjoy more peace, more joy, more favor, and more blessing. The wonder of faith is a pure thing. It's a childlike thing. And faith is the only thing that God responds to. When you never learn to doubt, life is so much better. I Never Learned to Doubt. It's my new book. Get it today. Has today's message blessed you? I believe it has. Like I said, there's a world of people who have eyes that don't see and ears that don't hear. God wants you to hear what He has to say to you. Now, why? So that His blessings can flow in every area of your life. Now, due to time constraints on television, you only saw a small part of this teaching. Go to our free JDM app and you can view the whole message there. It will bless you. Got a wonderful question from a person named Janie. She writes this, Brother Jesse, I heard you say that you keep track of all the seeds you sow. When your harvest comes in, how do you know which seed it came from? Janie, I name my seed. See, when you name your seed, you know the harvest of it. If you don't know what you're naming, if you don't know what the name of it is, you're not going to know the harvest of it. It will bless you. Name your seed. I preached a sermon many years ago. Go, hey, that's my harvest. Name your seed. We have a wonderful product order. It's my book, I Never Learned to Doubt. It's such a blessing of the Lord. Like the front of the book says, I've learned a lot about the dangers of doubt and the freedom of faith. Get ready for childlike faith to rise in you. Let me tell you, where you have more peace, more joy, more favor, and blessing. This book will help you. This is me personified. I know nothing of doubt. I just believe what this Bible says. How do you get your copy? Go to jdm.org for all the ordering information, and you can get it right there. Partners, thank you. Without you, we couldn't do what we do. I mean that sincerely. Every time I go on the road, and I go quite a bit, I take you with me. We're reaching people, changing lives one soul at a time. When you send in a faithful financial blessing, whether it be something small or something huge, I don't think of it as money. I think of people. You just gave me a job. Go get those people born again. Go get those people healed. Get them people out of depression. I don't mean to sound prideful or arrogant. I can get you out of depression. I can knock discouragement out of you in a second because the joy of the Lord is our strength. Partners, that what you do. Now, don't get mad at me when you get to heaven. There are thousands of people all over your front yard. We are doing the job because you sent us to do it. Thank you for your faithful financial support. Nothing too small, nothing too big. Still got a bunch of projects going on, and we do it all the time. Thank you, partner, for helping me. This is Jesse Duplantis right here in New Orleans, Louisiana, saying I love you. I really do. If I look a little tired, I am. I've been preaching a lot. And God will bless you and minister till next week. God bless you, okay? Bye-bye. People today are searching for meaning, purpose, peace, and authenticity. In a world bombarded by voices and information, Jesse Duplantis Ministry is determined to pierce through the noise and proclaim what every heart is yearning for, the good news of Jesus. I'm gonna ask you to meet my friend. That's the passion that drives us to trust God and continue to break through into new realms of the impossible. Only then are we able to reach an entire planet, one soul at a time, and help them experience the life-changing love of God for themselves.
You made it! You made it! You made it! Wasn't that easy? That wasn't hard, was it?
Jesus, today, would you give me the honor of walking to the throne of God with you? Vision always runs in advance of your ability to fulfill it. It's always ahead of you, see? But if you say, God chose me, and I'm going to complete this, and I'm going to do this. You're always going to have somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that, but yet the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. You don't realize how much power you have as a Christian. No matter how old you are, don't you ever quit. Before you know it, you complete your destiny and reach your destination.
Are you ready to revive your spiritual life? My book, The Power of Prayer, is loaded with personal stories and biblically based principles that will equip you to start enjoying the abundant life Jesus died to give to you. You can tap into a clear line of communication with God that will reveal His plan for your life. Never underestimate the power of your faith-filled prayers to unlock the gates of heaven and provide for your victory. The Power of Prayer. Order your copy at jdm.org.
I asked the question, is your church noisy? If it isn't, maybe, is there any life there? You know, dead people never say nothing.
Yeah, it's pretty quiet.
It's pretty quiet. Nothing. But boy, you get around live people. Ooh, Lord, it's just such a blessing of God.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.